Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
I think this was the low point of...
Real quick, shot clock's expiring. It's D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the Odyssey app. My bad.
We're going to have to review that to see if it hit the bottom of the rim. It did. So
killed the momentum.
It's good. It's good. New York says it's good.
New York. First thing New York's gotten right in a while.
The low point last year for the Pacers looks to be 10-15 on December 8th.
Wow.
And they end up going to the NBA Finals. Not predicting that for the Kings.
Well, you heard it here first. You heard it here first.
By any means. But between injury and trying to figure out the style of play, it took them a while to get going. And that may be what happens with the Kings a little bit. I thought they were going to be, like you mentioned, I thought they were going to be better than others did. 40, low 40s wins type team. Thought that's who they could be. I didn't think they could be that if two starters were out. Or one starter was like the prediction is based on health. And especially at that position, they just don't have a lot to fill in for Keegan Murray when he's not there. So that's problematic in itself. But you talk about rotations changing when he gets back. There's going to be another adjustment, an adjustment to that when Keegan Murray comes back. So they've, like you said, find a way to get oxygen every now and then. Yeah. You might not stay above water the entire time, but be able to get back up to the surface and get some oxygen so you can stay alive. And I'm always concerned about the psyche of this team.
Yeah.
I don't know if this team is mentally tough enough to go through some of the things they may have to go through.
But it feels okay right now.
It does.
Like the reaction to the 20-point loss was positive. I mean, you know what I mean. It was as positive as it can be, right? Mm-hmm. Like it didn't feel like anything like overly bad or catastrophic. I think, free throws are going to be a talking point. I think hopefully defending without fouling. Will be a talking point for those guys privately. Mm-hmm. But in the end, they were in a game that they lost, right? There's nothing. We could talk about Luka being out. We could talk about LeBron being out. Like, that doesn't matter. We don't even have a Luka and LeBron, so it doesn't matter,
right?
We have the reality is we like Zach LaVine is an Austin Reeves level player. Mm-hmm. Like, Austin Reeves is a very, very, very good player. I think maybe Zach LaVine like a smidge bit higher, but they're in the same vicinity. Right, Luka and LeBron don't exist on our team. They don't exist on Sacramento. So them being absent from the Lakers is irrelevant to us. And like, if those guys chose to make that a topping point, talking point, that's fine. But in the end, you just lost a basketball game yesterday. Now you're getting on the road, and you're going to be challenged against some of the league's, some of the conference's best teams. Chicago, no, it seems like no matter what, they're tough. Mm-hmm. Like, that's an absolutely tough basketball team. And so I don't think they're splintered or fractured, and I'm not even at the point of, like, concern with that. But, you know, I'm always watching the same person. If we get a bad post-game interview from Malik Monk, then I'll cry. I'll just show up here on the radio. I'll be like, guys, it's over. It's over.
Man, so it's funny you said it, because I asked the question on Friday, like, why is there so much angst for the psyche of this team, the psyche of this group? And I think I figured it out, for me at least. A lot of the times you look at the team's best player and you say, that's usually, it's not always the case, but that's usually the pulse of that team. I think today, Zach LaVine is the Kings' best player.
I agree.
I don't know how I feel about Zach LaVine. Like, not the man, like, I like him or whatever, but do I look at Zach LaVine, is he a unifier? Is he tough enough mentally and emotionally in a basketball sense, where when things are going south, that he can galvanize people, that he can be the type of guy that keeps things from splintering? Or is he just kind of the marches to the beat of his own drum type guy?
I feel like he's that. Does he have to be those other things when you have? So can I go back a second to you said, I don't know why we're always worried about the psyche of this team. You laid out the thing about Zach. I think part of it might be the fact it's just a kind of a collection of players. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, if I went and did a show with Chris Watkins and it didn't work, it's like, all right, I love Chris, that's my man, but, like, okay, it's whatever. Like, we fit, like, whatever. I have no investment in that. Mm-hmm. The investment is here with D'Lo, Casey, and Jesse. That's the investment.
Right.
And so we feel thing, like, we feel differently. The stream goes down. We feel that differently. The numbers are down. Like, we feel that differently. When you're just thrown together and you put the same uniform on, like, it's not the same. So I think a lot of it is, you know, you talk about psyche. How much longer are these guys going to stay engaged if they don't care about one another? Are they going to stay locked in on a common goal if they don't care about it? You know, I think it might be that. They have no growth together. Mm-hmm. So with Zach, like, the answer, I can't even imagine Zach doing any of the things that you just referenced, like being galvanizing. Again, I don't think there's any, to me, I believe he is the team's best player, but I can't picture him doing any of that. Really? But I can DeMar. I can picture DeMar doing it. And whether you like it or not, I could picture Russell Westbrook doing it.
I was about to say, Russ.
And Malik.
Russ has no attachment to any of these people, right? Maybe tomorrow, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he ain't gone through the wars on a team with these guys. And the second he came in, we're here, we're talking, we're galvanized, we're together. Like, let's figure this out. Something didn't go wrong in the first game of the season. Nah, we need to sit down. We need to talk about this after practice, everybody, to make sure everybody is on the same page. I believe a lot of the times. And that's great for Russ to do that. That's fantastic. But I do believe a lot of the times the team will take on the persona of its best player. And, yeah, if it's Zach. Zach has shown, I give Zach a lot more credit than a lot of people do, but he's shown moments where he cares about winning. He's passionate about it. Like, he's locked
in. I don't think he doesn't care.
But he's shown that. Like, just because you show it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But he's actually shown it. Like, people would say, oh, he doesn't care about winning. Well, you don't know that. You don't know his heart. But just because he kind of just goes through without any emotion, they say he doesn't care. He's shown emotion a couple of different times here.
You know,
he's shown a level of intensity. I've seen him do it when things, if they start off 3-10, is he going to, no, let's start, we're still here, guys. We're still here. Or is that going to be somebody else's job?
You know who has a personality like Zach LaVine? I'll tell you when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN
1320. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh. I got to be honest, I had a little procedure done on Friday, and I didn't think I would still be this uncomfortable on Monday.
Oh, no.
They tell you the first 48 hours, just get through that. It's like, well, I did. It's still not completely comfortable. But I can't imagine what Michael Scott went through.
Oh, Michael Scott, boy. When he did that, that was crazy when he said, it's a small procedure, not a large
procedure. What'd he do, Kenny? What'd he do? What did he do, Kenny?
He went to...
Snip, snap, snip, snap.
It's literally one of the most iconic lines. This is terrible.
Nobody, said, you have no idea what that does to a person.
He said, it's not a small procedure. It's just a procedure.
Nope.
All right, we'll take a lap for that one. Yeah. Every time you do that, it's just disrespecting me and Damien and the rest of whoever's watching that show.
Disrespectful.
Oh, man.
Complex's office and back.
You were talking about the... Okay, good. You're the first person I said who said it hurt for about a week. Okay, good. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Also, Alfonso, just between us, how long before you were back at it? That's what I need to know the answer to.
Yeah, just between you two.
Just between us. How long before? Yeah, we're talking in code. It's like Michael told Stanley. We're talking in code. It's fine. You were talking about Zach LaVine's personality a minute ago, and you know, could he be the guy to galvanize everybody and that whole thing? And you were describing Zach LaVine's personality, and I asked you, I gave you an entire commercial break to think about it. Do you know who Zach LaVine's personality reminds me of?
Yeah, because I thought about it when I said it.
You think we can reuse a segment from last year pertaining to this, too? If we're talking about the same person?
I'm not sure. Who do you think it is?
Sounds like De'Aaron Fox.
Who do you think it is?
De'Aaron Fox.
I was going to say Kenny Caraway.
Huh?
Hey, just a minute.
De'Aaron is more of I don't see, because I thought about De'Aaron after a particular Zach LaVine press conference. Zach is really laid back. Mm. De'Aaron's not the same to me. I don't see those two as the same. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand. I feel like you can ask the same questions.
That's probably more where I'm going to. I feel like we were doing the same thing last year about, does the team take on De'Aaron, the leader's personality? Is that a good thing? And now here we are talking about like Zach LaVine and them taking on his now, I guess.
So one thing we know about Kenny is Kenny's not going to react to like everything. But every once in a while, those everythings add up. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to react. And you'll react to me all of the time. But when you get to that boiling point is when you react to the people who could do something about it. And I wonder if that is Zach LaVine. Or is he a guy who just doesn't react? I don't know the answer to that because I don't know him well enough. As a player, I wasn't tapped into Bulls press conferences and Timberwolves press conferences. I never was. Like, I always had an idea of what his demeanor was, but I had no idea what that meant for the Bulls are in the midst of a 4-game losing streak or a 5-game losing streak. How's their best player reacting to it? I just listen to him and he's very laid back. He's very, it feels like he's composed when he talks, but that's publicly. Mm-hmm. We talked about Doug and DeMar and even Dennis, their reaction to what happened last night. That was their public reaction. I don't know what their reaction was privately. Right. Just like I don't know what Zach's reaction is to moments like this privately. Is Zach a bigger talker in practice before the cameras get in than, you know, when the cameras finally arrive? Every delivery I've ever heard from Zach LaVine, from his introductory press conference to when he spoke a couple of nights ago, it sounds exactly the same. But that's with the camera in front of him. It's an 11-year vet. Like, he knows how to do this. But if Doug said, hey, come in, sit in, no phones, off the record, just watch practice, how different is it? Right. And I don't know, because I feel like I can envision DeMar. I feel like I can envision Russ. I don't really know what I don't know what I'd see with Zach LaVine.
And I think that is where, for me at least, that's where the angst comes in. And like always, are they tough enough to go through what they're about to go through? Because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even when I bring up Zach. It's not even to say that Zach can't be the type of guy, be the best player that they need to get through something like this. Much like you just said, I don't know enough about Zach LaVine. I'm not sure about him. I have an idea of who he is and a thought of who he is and what he can do, but I don't know. So I don't know if they can stand the rain led by a guy like Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll find out together. But it's not going to be, for me at least, it's not going to be necessarily the 4-game road trip or the next 15 games that they have that are good or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you respond after that? Let's just say after next week. You say you go 0-4. How do you respond after that? Are you tough enough as a group and as a leader to stay locked in on the prize, stay locked in on the marathon, and not let that deter you or not let that splinter the group from what you guys are trying to achieve? Are you guys tough enough for that? Are you tough enough to say, hey, we're 3-8 right now, but it doesn't matter. Let's continue to take it one game at a time, mm-hmm, and try to get better with each game. Or you can be like everybody else says. Like it's also, if you do listen to this type of stuff, it's also a battle against your perception and the expectations that people have for you. Because if you get to the point where you're 3-8, 3-9, 3-10,
mm-hmm,
maybe all those people were right. Maybe we're not good. Oh.
Mm.
As opposed to saying, no, we're still good. We've got things that we've got to figure out and we've got to get better at. But I still believe in what this team could be. A lot of people just fall into what everybody else says. Like, well, maybe those people were right. Maybe
so you know what? Good. I don't think they do. I don't think they'll fall into that maybe everybody was right category. Mm. I mean, these are the same guys, DeMar and even Russ, during his introductory press conference, who were like, Yeah, like I have a problem. Like DeMar's like, I'm pissed off about the way this team is talked about. Mm-hmm. Russ, what excites you the most about this team, or something like that? How much doubt people have about them, about us? Okay. So those are I think it would take a lot to get to that. Maybe we're right. What I worry about, and this is where the collection of players comes into play. And just for the sake of argument, I'm going to say a collection of players versus a team, mm-hmm. right? This is where the collection of players comes in to where, oh, yeah, no, I don't like the way they're talking about us. But, if Domas did this, or if this person did that, or if this person did that, we'd be in a better spot. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier to point fingers at someone that you don't love. Right. And I don't know. Thankfully, they're 1-2. And then not 1-10. And these aren't really questions that I think warrant answers right now. They just have a brutal stretch ahead of them. They've got to figure out a way to win some really tough basketball games. But overall, at least in the scope of a now 79-game season, they got to find a way to play better basketball on both ends of the floor. They've done some really good things offensively. They've gone cold offensively. That's the league. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Sometimes it won't be as dramatic as 60% versus 30%, but like there's going to be up and down moments. There's going to be runs. There's going to be big quarters. There's going to be all of that stuff. Can they get stops when they need them most on the defensive end? Can they put together a string of good defensive performances that put them in a position to win games?
Yeah, and much like you just broke down, I think about the mental and emotional aspect to that. Like everything that you talked about when those guys talking about they're pissed off for how people are talking about us and the doubting, I don't dispute that. I know that's 100% how you feel. Mm-hmm. It's easier to have the focus on that when you're 0-0.
Mm.
When you're 3-10,
yeah.
Can you still keep that same energy and keep that same focus on the things that upset you in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hopefully we won't find out. Hopefully we never find out if they can.
That'd be great.
that would be great. But if they get close to that, can they kick out of it, to use a wrestling term? Can they kick out of that?
And those won't be questions we get the answers for a while. Mm-hmm. James Hamm's going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Again, it was a bad weekend all around. We mentioned Sac State. They got beat by Montana on Friday night.
Damn.
And then it didn't get any better on Sunday when the San Francisco 49ers, they just looked bad. Mm. It was just a bad football game.
It looked sluggish.
It was kind of gross.
Like, they just never really got connected. Defense never got any kind of pressure. Texas offense did what they wanted. And it felt like Mac Jones, that offense, just never got any sort of connection.
That was the first time all year where I thought, man, the defense just doesn't look good. But there's probably a valid reason for that.
Yeah, I think three, and I'll add Malik Mustafa because he probably would have started if he didn't start the season hurt. But I think at the end of that game or in the second half of that game, you had three starters from the 11 that you projected to have on the opening day roster starting.
Wow.
Maybe four, because maybe Upton Stout started like at your nickel cornerback. But, yeah, that is brutal
for that
group. And that was the first time I feel like we saw them this year and said, yeah, it's cute that, everybody's next man up, but you need your big dogs if you're trying to do something. And I was trying to figure out all week why. I mean, the NBA started and the NBA was popping, but I just had nondescript feelings for this game on Sunday. I might have been like the 49er. I was just like, in zombie mode for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't excited.
Well, Halloween week.
This is true. This is true. Wasn't excited. Wasn't like down. And I tried to figure out, I was like, well, win or lose, like, what does this even mean? Like, say they won mm-hmm. against Houston. What does it mean? Because now Bryce Huff is hurt. And at the time, I thought Deion Lenore was hurt. Like, I knew, say everybody's hurt or all these people are hurt and they win, it almost wouldn't matter. It's like, you can't keep this up. Like, you can't keep losing people and keep winning games. And I think that was on my mind. It's like, did anybody come back this? No, nobody came back. So, all right. They'll either win or it'll be too much and they'll lose. And I'll be scouring the practices this week to see if somebody's coming back. Somebody's coming back, because I don't think anything is really going to matter for this team moving forward unless you start to get these starters back. And I think it starts with Brock Purdy. You mentioned this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you were spot on. You said, yeah, at some point, like, Mac, you're going to need your starter back. Mac did his job, had an incredible 2-3 weeks or whatever, but he's the backup for a reason. And to me, there was never any quarterback controversy. It's Brock is the better quarterback.
Absolutely.
And it felt like we're starting to see the limitations of Mac. Not that Mac has been bad. I don't think he was like awful yesterday and get him off the field, but you're seeing the lack of mobility, which is starting to be an issue for a team that doesn't have this great offensive line. You're starting to see the inability to make plays on the fly that Brock Purdy is really good at. Brock Purdy is really, really good. I think he's a marksman with his accuracy. And you're starting to see some of these passes from Mac Jones be a little inaccurate, and that be the difference between a catch or an incompletion, or even a catch and tackle immediately, or a catch and taking the yak, you know, up the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything starts with getting Brock Purdy back. And I'm not sure when that's going to happen. But I think for me, that'll be when things start to turn around as far as my mindset of what this team could do and who they could be. If they keep losing guys and win a game next week, but Bryce Huff is still out for four. It don't matter. Like, it's not going anywhere, ultimately.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail. They need their starting quarterback back. Mm-hmm. There's like Mac Jones Mac Jones has shown he's a better quarterback than I think a lot of us anticipated him mm-hmm. to be. But he is a backup quarterback. And there does come a point where it's you're reminded, like, yes, he's a backup quarterback in the NFL to win at a very high level. You need your starting quarterback to play. There's obviously very rare circumstances. Brock Purdy is one of those very rare circumstances, right? He got his opportunity to be the 49ers starting quarterback for the foreseeable future because that team lost multiple starting quarterbacks. I just don't think that that's a regular thing, as much credit as we give Kyle Shanahan and this offense. You got to have a guy back out there who can make plays. The heroics of the Kittle McCaffrey stuff from a week ago, man, that disappeared quickly. Mm. That was a there were theories and called shots with player of the week that George Kittle put out there, and all of those different things and what goals that he set out there for Christian McCaffrey in his return. But it amounted to nothing. Like, it was just as flat of a football game as I've seen this team play, certainly this year. It was like lifeless, and they still had a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, even
got it to eight.
You had it was a really tough interception late in that game that just kind of ended things for the San Francisco. And shout out to the 49ers. They actually got an interception yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not something you hear very often, but I think it was Deamador Lenore was able to
Demo
to end that.
A lot of people thought maybe he should have got down to give him a chance.
14-week streak. 15-week?
I thought it might have been 13.
Okay, 13. Anyways.
But anywhere around.
A long streak, yeah. So as bad as it was, like, they still had a chance. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that shocked me the most, because of, you know, we have talked about the Mac Jones, Brock Purdy aspect of this. We've talked about the different, you know, shortcomings on the offensive end that they've had to survive. The thing that was most glaring by far is that it felt like Houston's offense just had their way with the San Francisco 49ers defense. And that's not, again, something that we have said at all this year during all of the low moments that the 49ers have had. They've never been dominated before. And even though the score doesn't show that, the time of possession does. Mm. 41 minutes C.J. Stroud had the football yesterday.
Oof.
And that is just that's just not something you see from San Francisco very often. I think the stat was all of the scoring drives that Houston had to start the game, 9+ plays. So like they were out there, you know, and they were out there, they were moving the chains, they were
on third down, all
bleeding
that
clock, yeah. And it just resulted in the strangest game so far of the 49ers season, and just a loss.
Yeah, and it really felt like nobody on that team was awake to start the game. Like they were all sleepwalking at the start of that game. And to be fair, I mean, those things are going to happen. Those games are going to happen. There's a few different reasons why we think it's starting to happen with the 49ers. But in an 18-game season, yeah, you're going to have one where you just can't get it going. The year they went to the Super Bowl, one of the ones that stand out to me was the Browns game where they lost on – now, Jeff Schwartz and that defense, they did a really good job, but the Niners just couldn't. They had been humming. I think that was after the Sunday night game against Dallas that they just destroyed the Cowboys on. I think it was the very next game. And they just could not get things going. They kept getting a bunch of penalties that, you know, you'd make a positive play on the offensive end, holding 10 yards, coming back. Positive play, illegal formation, fight. It just couldn't get it going. And I thought that's what happened a lot yesterday. We'll see if this is the beginning of not being able to get things going or just a blip in the radar. Did you see that stat that came up during the game and that I had tweeted out about Kyle Shanahan, the injury situation?
I don't think so.
This is not funny. This is actually, I'm laughing to keep from crying. But Kyle Shanahan, I think D. Winters had just gone out. And Fox put up a graphic that said, in the Shanahan era that started in 2017, the 49ers have lost 2,036 games due to injury.
Jesus.
For a point of reference, obviously, like, you got multiple players and things add up and multiply and stuff. For a point of reference, the Kyle Shanahan era has only been 140 games. They've lost 2,036 games due to injury.
Well, I feel like...
And look at the graphic they used for Kyle when they did it. Look at...
Oh, come on, man.
That was just when D. Winters went out, man. My dog, man. Oh, man.
It could get worse.
Yeah.
They're at New York on Sunday.
Oh, brother. Stay off that. And Brock, come back the
nothing
following
week. Ever goes, nah, nothing nah. ever goes well in New York.
Come back the following week, Brock. Mac Jones like, why? I got to play. You see my knee. I keep grabbing my knee every time. Why? I got to play in the Meadowlands or MetLife, whatever it is.
They're still 5 weeks from a bye. Like, they're not even close.
Gosh, bro.
They got New York in New York, the Giants, that is, excuse me. They got the New York Giants at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey this Sunday. And then they're back. They got the Rams. Then they're at Arizona, back home to take, what a schedule this is. back home to take on the Panthers, and then back out in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out, a lot of back and forth.
Shout out to TC. He's in the chatty house, and he says, Shanahan got out-coached by the little homie no matter how you want to slice it. TC has been waiting for weeks to say something like that because they've been winning games. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Out-coached is always funny to me. Because it's like, okay, tell me how. Tell me what D'Amico Ryans did, how he schemed. Tell me what D'Amico Ryans did that outcoached Kyle Shanahan. And I feel like there are some people who can very eloquently answer that question. And then there are some people who can't. Mm. But it's a very easy term to lie on when I would just tend to lean on, and it's, again, I'm not stalling the 49ers out. Their defense was made up of a bunch of backups. Like, that was a second string. That was primarily a second string defense. And it's one thing to remove, man, you remove a skilled player like Nick Bosa. That's tough, guys. We got to rally. You remove the heart. Hey, we got to get out there. We can't fill in for Fred Warner, but we can all collectively find a way to do something different. Man, you start removing like four or five other players, it just becomes like, hey, man, just good luck.
Yeah.
Just go do the best you can, guys.
It's like, we've talked about this before, but like, I know last year a couple times, and we'll see it again, when the Kings, for instance, when they win a game, a close game, and the other team finishes like, two of their last nine from the field, and they'll be like, oh man, the Kings locked up at the end of that game. Mm-hmm. And then we watch the film and they're the same wide open shots that go in any other time. Yeah. No, they didn't play better defense. They just missed the shots. On the flip side, RIP before we get out of here, like you said it a couple times, there was some shots last night. Austin Reeves, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was there. He was on a heater. Mm-hmm. You could argue you shouldn't let him get on a heater before you get to that point. But it wasn't like he was running around wide open in the fourth quarter. He was defended.
Well, I was going to say, contested. I feel like you're more likely to get on a heater if someone's guarding you.
He got on a heater because he kept going to the free throw line. I think I saw he was 5 of 16 at one time. He wasn't like killing. He just kept going to the free throw line.
Was he 5 of 16 from the field at one time?
Yeah.
Jesus. 12 of 22. Oh, that's insane. But 21 of 22.
He made his free throws.
Hey, salute.
Make your free
throws. He was 21 of 22, and the Kings were 12 of 18.
He was just being more aggressive.
You know what the worst part about that is? My boy missed four of them.
Oh, that was tough to see.
He had a rough night at the free throw line. We'll come back. James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour. Talk more Kings basketball on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
20. Did,
Hey, this is going to be an embarrassing walk to the car. Bro, it's flip-flopping and, oh, man. Not for, I legit.
I'm guessing, I think I know your routine just because of the amount of time it takes you. I'm guessing you didn't walk all the way downstairs. Just
this is going to be tough, man. I want to take this shoe off.
Can you imagine walking down the hall and like someone sees, like, oh, what happened to your shoes? Your shoes are ripped, pal.
What if this happened tomorrow?
Oh. This is going to change Kenny's whole, we have a KSFM centric thing that we have to do tomorrow at 5. This is going to change Kenny's whole process. He's going to start packing shoes. For those who are just tuning in, Kenny's shoe exploded. Like full on Zion Williamson exploded. And
it's getting worse, by the way.
No, it is. You have to see. Like, it is falling apart inside the studio. There's little foam pieces, like, everywhere. Like, under his chair. It's an absolute... It's a bloodbath. It is an absolute bloodbath.
Jonathan, we need the vacuum.
No, we... As a shoe, we need the vacuum. And,
crazy.
It's like asbestos falling from the ceiling, but from Kenny's shoes.
It's terrible. It is absolutely terrible.
One of the worst days of my life. I love these shoes, too.
So, but now we all know if you're one of those people like me, and now I've started to run through what is my oldest. I have a pair, and this is going to hurt so bad.
Oh, no.
I have a pair of, I think it was 11. I think I could look at the box and check. The 2011 re-release of the University White 11s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still in the box.
No, go try them out tonight.
Like, wear those tomorrow to work.
Like, new.
Try them out tonight, brother.
Yeah, whatever shoes you haven't worn the longest, make sure you wear those tomorrow.
Oh, man. Let this be a lesson, guys. Let this be a lesson. Wear your shoes.
Now I'm thinking, what happened? I won't go get those white horses. Because if something happened to those white horses, I'd be sick.
Yeah, just go wear.
I've managed to keep those in pristine condition for a decade.
Wear them around the house every now and then if you don't want to wear them, but you got to wear them, I guess.
When's the last time you wore those shoes, Casey, before they blew up?
Ooh, good question.
We're talking, we're talking a couple of years. We're talking about probably 3-4, maybe 5
okay,
years.
Okay.
You got any 3-4-5 years in your closet, Damien?
Yep.
Now, look, I will say this.
I have given some of those I did give away. The ones that are that old, like they're in a box. They're brand new. Yeah. They have not been touched.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go wear them tonight.
I'd be sick if something happened to those.
The killer with these is I got good wear out of these. I wore these a lot. So it's a combination of wear and tear and then just not wearing for X amount of years. So it's a combination of both, but. Mm. I just talked to my man Mario about restoring some of these shoes too, and he told me, he said, "Yeah, you might need a whole." There, I got the other side of the Raging Bull pack.
It's only about $1,200 to replace them, so that's nothing. That's a Keon Ellis free throw from.
Oh, jeez, get two.
Well, could have if he had made it.
I'd ask James to get them for me if he would have made it.
No. He didn't.
James Hamm coming up in about 8 minutes or so.
Yeah, he'll join us right here at the top of the hour.
Oh my bad. I'm interrupting for the second time. I was going to, because we were talking about the 49ers and injuries, and we talked about Cam Scattaboo.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me, or are there an insane amount of injuries in the NFL this year?
Oh, it feels like it. Yeah, like bad ones too.
Yeah. And I remember like last year during the playoffs and the finals, everybody was complaining about the NBA, like, oh, we've got to do something. Why are these people keep getting hurt? Nobody says this about the NFL because I guess they're just used to people getting hurt. But it seems like there is a crazy amount of injuries this year. I could be wrong, but just watching the league, it feels that way.
Just a bunch of freak accidents, though. Like, Tyreek Hill got rolled up on his leg, and it's just, yeah, freak accidents.
Well, the bad ones, yeah, the bad ones like that. That's but just like look at the Niners. I think the Ravens have an injury issue like that. There's another team with just a gang of injuries. I can't remember. I saw it the other day, but there's a couple of different teams that are like the Niners. You know what I'm saying? And it's nobody's like the Niners, but close to it.
I don't want to say they are whatever, because like you've always had to follow the rules. Maybe they're just reporting everything now. I mean, we've never heard like a football player being healthy throughout the season. Like these guys are all hurt all the time. So maybe it's just any little thing that pops up now.
Could be.
Well, given the way the last few days has gone, and yeah, you've got to report everything. Yeah. That Baltimore Ravens story is still weird to me.
Which story?
The Lamar Jackson story, where they said Lamar Jackson was a partial participant on Thursday, but then accidentally said he was a full participant on Friday without noting he participated, but he participated with the scout team. He didn't participate with the ones. They had to send out a statement, I think it was on Saturday, saying, he was a participant with the scout team, and he's out Sunday. Then they had to issue a second statement after the first statement fell flat. And of course, you know who their coach is. So the apple doesn't doesn't fall far from the other apple.
That's not it.
It's not. But Harbaugh's not the tree. The other Harbaugh cheater isn't the tree.
Whoa. He's another apple.
I'm saying there's questions that maybe John, game the system a little bit, and given who his brother is, thus the other apple, the apple doesn't fall far from the other apple.
The man is simply trying to enjoy his mini bye week, and you got guys in Sacramento calling him a cheater.
Who's mini bye week?
The Chargers.
No, he is a cheater.
He
is a cheater. The one I don't think is a cheater is John.
He's just trying to enjoy, like I said, his mini bye. And Damian Barling in Sacramento, not Kenny Caraway, because I wouldn't disrespect you that way.
Well,
coach.
I guess this is a lot like when Malcolm Brogdon heard the show and just quit. Did you see the clip of DeMarcus?
Yeah. That was crazy. I want to know what happened. They had issues before, but.
Oh, yeah.
Why was Jason trying to talk crazy about something?
I mean, was Jason Thompson really emailing his co-host?
That's crazy. He said it was Channing, right?
Is that who it was?
Yeah. Chandler. I said Channing. That's who Michelle, who was just laying out all the info. She's like, oh, no, it wasn't me. It was Channing. Chandler. Yeah. Emailing him. Why would he do that?
He called him tissue paper soft.
Why would he do that? So, yeah, DeMarcus, he gonna say what needs to be said. He was waiting for an opportunity. Had nothing to do with nothing. Said, DeMarcus, what you think about Trae Young in Atlanta? Softest tissue. No, I'm talking about Jason Thompson.
Wasn't there a rumor they got in like a fist fight?
Yeah. Wasn't it on the plane?
That's what I thought. Yeah. On the team plane.
That's crazy.
Well, I guess maybe it's not a rumor anymore. I guess we got that one checked.
Right. Oh, did you see, speaking of studio shows, did you see the clip of Terry Bradshaw?
Oh, hey.
Who let Grandpa out of his room?
Hey, we need to start. We need to start Lee Corso-ing Terry Bradshaw. Like, it's long overdue. Like, shout out.
We're past Lee Corso, brother. We got old yell at the guy.
That was crazy.
Take him off back. He's done, dude.
That
was my pig dealer, actually.
Even his co-host, who I think for the last few years have kind of been trained to protect him, were at a complete loss. They were just
Howie Long said, "Look at the producers back there."
They legit just looked at him like he was a crazy old
Michael
man.
Michael Strahan's look, that's the one that got me. So the funny thing is, I saw the tweet and somebody had captioned it, it's good that we're getting this real football talk back on these pregame shows. We've been missing it for a long time. And I was like, well, damn, what did he say? So I was like, let me hear. I saw it a couple times. I saw the screen capture of the clip a couple times. I was like, damn, everybody talking about this. Let me see what he's talking about. He's really breaking it down. And then I heard what it was, and I died. And then Michael Strahan.
But the thing that I would worry about more so in Washington is the other day I text Andy Reid, and I got a text back, and I thought it was Andy Reid, but it's some guy selling pigs. But I sounded good. I should have told y'all that, so y'all would have thought I actually talked to Andy Reid, but I didn't really talk to Andy Reid.
I wish you could. Boy, I wish you could see the people behind the cameras, because they're like,
the point is, but the thing.
No, go ahead, run it one more time. Look at the
thing that I would worry about more so in Washington is the other day I text Andy Reid, and I got a text back, and I thought it was Andy Reid, but it's some guy selling pigs. But I sounded good. I should have told y'all that, so y'all would have thought I actually talked to Andy Reid, but I didn't really talk to Andy Reid.
I wish you could see the people behind the cameras, because they're like,
the point is.
Oh, but man, and forgive me if there's something really wrong with Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, no, there is.
If it was just a weird moment, that was hilarious.
Michael Strahan's looking at him like, bro, I was on Good Morning America. Like, what am I doing here? What is happening?
Well, it's like, who's going to tell Terry Bradshaw he can't be on the show no more?
Especially, Terry is... Him and Howie are the only two originals. When they went to Fox, it was Terry and Howie and then the other guys.
Yeah.
So he's probably got that.
It was James Brown first.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson was first.
Jimmy Johnson was there.
Because that's when they went to Barry. The Niners won.
Did Jimmy
went to Barry Switzer. So Jimmy didn't have a job.
Did Jimmy go to Fox and then Miami?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then back to Fox.
Because remember on the doc, it was always awkward when he would criticize the Cowboys.
That's right.
Because it was really fresh.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, Terry, one of the originals, he probably got one of those things where.
You did it with Lee Corso. You can reduce his role and he still be on TV. Mm. That's L.A.?
Yeah.
You can, I mean, if he lives in L.A., you can still do this.
Terry.
Maybe not all of the time.
No. Terry was one of those ones too. He never reached the heights of Charles Barkley, but he was in that same
He was very good. He's very good.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.